This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I'm going to try to get the new little Android head unit in here not to start playing, but it means that I have to be very careful and watch, and as soon as it goes, no, I didn't get it. Rats. Okay, I'm gonna have to figure that out. I don't have that figured out yet. But all in all, the little head unit seems to be working fine, and it's a nice addition, and I'm really enjoying it because you can set it up, you know, with Audible and that kind of stuff, with Android Auto, and so it's good. I get in the car, I'm listening to audiobooks, and it just automatically starts up, and so that's good. That's good, that's good, that's good. I like it. I've been able to listen through Michael Heisner's The Unseen Realm. Lots of interesting stuff in there. And now I'm listening through Michael Heisner's book called Demons. And he's going through all an investigation of the Old Testament and the New Testament and the intertestamental writings and those type of things, looking at the schools of thought that are defined of the supernatural realm. It's pretty interesting. So it's been fun. It's been quite the week at work. So we are getting ready to cut over to a new internet production server. So all of our internet sites are on a database server that we're getting ready to cut over to. And that's, you know, we're going to do a Big Bang implementation on this. So we're just going to, because there's so many dependencies. That's very exciting. So they were hoping that they could just get this cut over and then would have one day of testing and would say, yep, it all works. So far, we're on day 3 of testing, and we ain't done yet. So hopefully Monday or Tuesday of next week, we'll get this figured out. And then we have to figure out when we're actually going to pull the trigger on this. And it's amazing, with this many databases and this many different departments involved, you know, there's lots of pieces. But step at a time, step at a time. Jesus has helped us. And Jesus has just been so good, so good. I mean, I got asked today, hey, so what about this database? And I was like, I don't know. And so I started kind of looking around and investigating and getting there. And then I was in one of our main line of business system databases, and I right-clicked on what I thought I wanted and scripted it out. But I suddenly realized, oh, I scripted out the wrong one there, but that was okay. But it's because as soon as my eyes landed on that script, it was like, and there's something else we're going to have to check. And so I alerted the rest of the team to the fact that we really need to be looking into this open row set stuff as well, you know, because there's 200 of those. And so, and it was on a different server, so we wouldn't have known anything about that until we cut over to the new production internet server, and then suddenly all that stuff would have just stopped working. So yeah, it's very exciting. But the testing seems to be going well. We discovered a really deep bug that had been fixed in SQL Server between 2012 and 2020. But we've only found one of those so far, so that's good. So all is well. I apologize, I am a little tired. I've been exercising a little harder, watching what I eat a little more, because I had gotten to the place I was about 8 pounds overweight, and I was starting to develop a little bit of a paunch, and it's like, okay, we're done. But this last week, you know, I put the plan in action and I am down 2 pounds, which is what I was trying to do. Just shave off 2 pounds. So depending on the day, depending on how you count it, I'm somewhere around 5-6 pounds I still need to peel back off. So next week, hopefully, be another 2 pounds. And hopefully here in about 4 weeks or so, I will be, well, 3 weeks now, I will be back down to where I'm supposed to be. And it's really just a matter of kicking up the exercise level. And not only doing a little yoga as many times as I can, but kicking up my speed as I'm running. And then not only that, but layering in a bit of strength exercises. And so that seems to be going well. The writing is going well, I think. I'm on chapter 11 of book 19, which is about right. Books usually go about 32 chapters or so, and so I like to be somewhere around chapter 15, 16 before I finish up this writing sprint. And so that I should be on track for that. So the beta readers are starting to come back in for book 18. That all seems to be fine. Have a breakfast tomorrow with one of my beta readers, and so we're going to discuss more about his reactions to the book. So that's going to be fine. It is Mother's Day tomorrow for costumes, so that's always exciting because, you know, the older I get, the more curmudgeonly I get, the more I just don't really care about people's misconceptions about, you know, what is a masculine color and what is a feminine color and what is a masculine thing to wear and what is a feminine thing to wear. I'm just getting curmudgeonly and old. And it just keeps seeming more and more ridiculous to me. The longer I live, it just seems more and more ridiculous. And I really attribute all this thing to gendering stuff that doesn't have anything to do with making babies. I just see more and more how this gendering of stuff that doesn't have anything to do with making babies really just comes down to marketing and to people trying to sell you something. And given that, yeah, I just don't see why I should be bothered with all that stuff. And if I know I can put on a costume that's going to make somebody laugh, I don't really care what people think about me, and I don't really care how they feel about that. If it's depending on the vacation, or depending on the holiday. And, ta-da, this holiday is Mother's Day, so we're gonna do that thing tomorrow. Should be fun. We should have lots of fun. So, either that, or I will get mugged. One of the two. So, or beat up. One of the two. So, we'll see how this goes. I haven't been beat up yet. Usually can kind of talk my way out of any kind of tense situation, for which I'm grateful. So it's going to be exciting. We'll just see how it goes. So that should be good. I am working on my nudie suit. I have been working for about 2 weeks on the left cowboy boot. But I'm very close to having that finished, and I've, you know, worked out the dynamics, and I would imagine that I will be able to put together the right cowboy boot, get that done in a week and a half, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of piecework and a lot of handwork with it, but at least I know what I'm doing now, and I know what the result is going to look like, and it's fine. It's fine. So, yay. So get the right cowboy boot done, and then I get my cowboy hat done, and then I gotta get my cowboy gloves done, and then I have to actually seam together some things on the bodysuit, and then we'll be ready to go for National Nude Day. So it's good. You know, I have notes of something I had put together because I went, oh, look at that. I don't know. I mean, I can give you the punchline on that. I came across an article, and it was a pretty interesting article, talking about the day Dostoevsky discovered the meaning of life in a dream. So in case you don't know, Dostoevsky was a famous Russian journalist, or Russian novelist. He wrote Crime and Punishment, wrote a bunch of other things that I can't name, but Crime and Punishment, I don't know that I've ever read the whole thing. I've read sections of it, and I should probably dedicate myself at some point to reading the whole thing. But for those who read Dostoevsky, I think that's right, they say he's just tremendous, that his characterizations are just astonishing. And he does this... there's at one point where the protagonist is in jail, and I think he gets visited by his brother. And then his brother tells him a parable that is basically talking about Jesus Christ and the Inquisitor. And it's really good. It's really, really good. And the idea is that Jesus Christ appears in some place, modern day Spain or someplace like that. And he's doing miracles, and the Catholic Church comes and arrests him and throws him in jail. And the Inquisitor comes, and so he has this conversation with Christ about why he's not allowed to do what he was doing. And it's really, really an interesting, you know, a really good perspective on organized church and how organized church has its own agendas beyond, maybe it's just called the Inquisitor. Organized church has its own agendas beyond what Christ was trying to accomplish. A lot of insightful things. So Dostoevsky, he was a thinker. He was a thinker. And so this article was about a short story. The piece, which first appeared altogether revelatory in the altogether revelatory A Writer's Diary, under the title The Dream of a Queer Fellow, was later published separately as The Dream of a Ridiculous Man. Now then, this is again one of those situations where we've decided to take a word and redefine it, and then because that word has been redefined, we feel a need to change things because we don't want people to get the wrong impression. Okay, so that's why it can't be The Dream of a Queer Fellow anymore. It has to be The Dream of a Ridiculous Man now. Yeah, I'm of the opinion that we should not abdicate words just because someone has decided that a word might mean something else. They can have their definition of the word. We can have our definition of the world. I have just noticed as I'm driving along here, I should have noticed this last week, but it was raining and I didn't really hear it. But I have just noticed that ever since I have put in this new Android head unit, that there's actually a rattle in my dashboard now. So there you go. That's probably because I was not able to put all the screws, mounting screws, in because of the way the dashboard headboard is done. That's what we have. So that's exciting. But I'm not taking it out because it was hard to get in and it was hard to get out. And so we're just going with it. Because instead of four screws that really bolt the doubled in to where it needs to be, I think there's only two in there. But that's okay because it holds it in, except it rattles a little bit. But we don't care. So anyways, that's what that rattling is, if you hear that rattling. So this is Fyodor Dostoevsky, who was living from November 11th, 1821 to February 9th, 1881, which means he lived 60-ish years, 59 years. So the dream that he documents, I mean, it's pretty interesting, and they go along and talk about it. But what really caught my eye on this, and this is perhaps all we'll say about this, is that the guy goes through all these different experiences and he talks about them all. And then he comes all the way down to the end of this dream. And you can look up the article for yourself. It's by Marina Popova, P-O-P-O-V-A, Maria Popova. The name of the article is The Day Dostoevsky Discovered the Meaning of Life in a Dream. It's not really that. He wrote this story, and in the story, a guy dreamed. And so they're thinking that maybe it was autobiographical, but I didn't really get the impression anywhere in this story that Dostoevsky admitted that it was bioautographical. Maybe he does, and I just missed it. And towards the end of this article, after he goes through all this stuff, she says that, whoops, got too close to the center of the road there. She says that Dostoevsky concludes with his protagonist's reflection on the shared essence of life, our common conquest of happiness and kindness. Quoting Dostoevsky, all are tending to one and the same goal, at least all aspire to the same goal, from wise men to the lowest murderer, but only by different ways. It is an old truth, but there is this new in it. I cannot go far astray. I saw the truth. I saw and know that men could be happy and beautiful without losing the capacity to live on the earth. I cannot believe that evil is the normal condition of men. I saw the truth. I did not invent it with my mind. I saw, and her living image filled my soul forever. I saw her in such consummate perfection that I cannot possibly believe she was not among men. How then can I go astray? The living image of what I saw will always be with me and will correct me and guide me. For I am strong and fresh. I can go on and on, even for 1,000 years. Anyways, so as I interpret what he's saying there, he's saying that he had this revelation in a dream of how we could live in harmony with each other and how we could actually, you know, create this wonderful place on earth, and we aren't required to live as evil as many people do, and creating evil and working in evil, that it is possible for us to live on this earth in harmony with each other. So the question then for me is, okay, so this, he's got all this verbosity. When we get down to it, what is it? What makes this happen? And this is, when I read this, I went, well, yeah, that's what it is. So I got all the way to the end of this. And so then he wraps up and he says, and it is so simple. The one thing is, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is the one thing. That is all. Nothing else is needed. And you will instantly find how to live. To which I said, yup. So when I read that, I was like, well, yeah. So anyways, the author of this article said, a century later, looking, one moment, Jack Kerouac would echo this in his own magnificent meditation on kindness and the golden eternity. So there you go. So it's that simple and that difficult. And frankly, without Jesus, it's that impossible. Love your neighbor. So important. It's so important. And we get so astray. I'm checking my mail one moment. We go so far astray. Thinking there's all kinds of other things we can do. I've had multiple conversations today about the fact that we live in such interesting times and the fact that everything is shaking now. And why is it shaking? And why does it feel like everything is disintegrating? And the reason it feels like everything is disintegrating is because it is disintegrating, because we decided that a moral code was really not necessary for us to keep a society together. And we were wrong. We were deeply wrong. And we can keep trying to pretend that a moral code is not required, or we can finally just admit that yes, we really do need a moral code to keep us together as human beings, because what we're doing now is not really working. And we've got all kinds of things that are shaking because we aren't. Whoa, I'm backing into my garage now, using my little backup camera. I'm still kind of getting the hang of this, because sometimes you twist it one way and it goes the other way. Because it's a little bit, it's kind of backwardish, but it's fine. It's fine. It's much better. I couldn't do the backing like this without it. So it's good. All is well. Anyways, we do have our last small group tonight. And so I really need to go and help my beloved finish, get the house ready. Got to do some vacuuming, like that and like that and like that. It's been a good week. It really is. I'm looking forward to a good weekend. I've had a little bit of sinus drainage that I've been dealing with, and I'm trying to figure out if it's allergies or if it's like a little cold that's trying to lay hold of me. I don't know, but I've been doing that nasal rinse thing with the iodine in it. Probably do it tomorrow morning again, just in case it is some sort of an infection, because that will knock down the infection. And that's always very exciting when you do that, because yeah, the post-nasal cavities, they really do not, or the nasal cavities, they really do not like having water in them. So it's exciting. But God is good. It's been a good week. He has been helping us. Kept all the balls in the air this week. We're moving forward on all bunches and bunches of fronts. And wow, it's a good, good life. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.